The Cap and Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
That's why I say amen, I
shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say amen, I shot.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay, we got JC, we got you. Still to come, we'll hear from Ryan Poles, the general manager for the Chicago Bears, on Justin Fields. But first, it's Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by
PointsBet Sportsbook. Download the updated PointsBet app. Get the lightning bets, the live in-game, same-game parlays. Get the best lines, the best juice on those lines, all at PointsBet. And if you want to play the ponies, that would be... Good morning, Secretariat. That would be the Club Hawthorne Mobile Wagering app. We say good morning to Snorling.
Good morning, boys. How are we feeling this morning on a Wednesday?
Awesome.
Feeling really good, man. Ready for another edition of Shot or No Shot.
Well, let's get right into it, Hoodie. I want to start with Khalil Herbert. He was placed on IR yesterday. Mm-hmm. Herbert was putting together a very solid season. He ranked second among running backs in yards per carry, 10th among running backs in total yards. He's found the end zone 5 times on the ground and through the air. And for a Bears team that is already light on weaponry, my question, Shot or No Shot, Khalil Herbert is actually a huge loss for the Bears offense.
Well, that's a shot. A huge only in this regard, Cap. I still like the thunder and lightning combination of Montgomery and Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
No, we haven't seen it recently because someone's taking all the touches, and rightfully so in Justin.
Name is Justin.
He's taking all the touches, right?
Yes, correct.
This is the NBA equivalent of, and you've been in a lot of these locker rooms like I have, lose the game. And the box score is available. It was passed around the locker room. Only had 3 shots. 4 fouls. Some bull crap, man.
Yeah.
I need more shots. Get out. The press to get out.
That's it.
Same thing with Montgomery and Herbert. Like, I'm not getting as many touches. I'm getting the tough yardage, the 1 and 2 yards. He's roaming for 156. Those are my touches.
Right.
So with Herbert not being there, I just think that you are missing what I think is a home run hitter as far as running the football. So that means more Treston Ebner. So, I mean, that's tough. I like Herbert, so it's too bad he's going to be gone.
Okay, you called it what? What was the term?
Huge loss for the Bears offense.
A loss.
Huge.
Sure. A loss.
It's a loss. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. You can't say it's not. Huge loss? No. It's a no shot. Good player. Like him a lot. Glad he's on our team. Hell of a 6-round draft pick. Huge loss? You're 3-7. No, Justin would be a huge loss. That would be a huge loss.
So you don't like the word huge, but definitely Herbert being out is a detriment to the offense.
No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. You can't slice it any which way but that. But huge? No, that's a no shot. I can't put the word huge on it.
Sure. Let me ask you this, and kind of as piggybacking off of that one. If it damages the ability to be effective in play action, losing Khalil Herbert, if it hurts your ability to have a consistent threat as a running back, because we know Monty's not going to be every down, if it hurts the play action game and then kind of harms Justin's ability to keep doing what he's been doing, then does it become a huge loss?
I don't think it damages the play action game because David Montgomery's back there. If you told me, oh, God, they just got some kid from Des Plaines Junior College. I don't even know if they have a junior college. And we're just going to throw him in there. Mm. Yeah, no one's going to respect the running game.
Mm.
David Montgomery's still your running back 1 on this team. That's a fact.
Check.
So, no. No shot.
All right, the Bulls have been struggling lately with an inconsistent and often ineffective offense. Both Zach LaVine and Billy Donovan commented on a lack of energy, including LaVine calling out the team's energy level in a home game after 3 nights off. The Bulls' plan last offseason was continuity and currently seems to rest entirely on getting healthy sometime down the line, so shot or no shot. If the only hope for the Bulls is getting healthy, there's really no hope at all.
That's a shot. And I'll go farther to say Arturas and Mark Eversley, to this point, have been wildly disappointing to me. Wildly. What have they really done? They won one playoff game in a gentleman's sweep that you called before it started. Mm-hmm. And if Chris Middleton doesn't hurt his knee, we get swept away. What have they really, really done? Zach was here already. Lonzo Ball, $80 million. We can't get the guy on the freaking court. DeMar? DeMar's a really good player. He is. But without any shooting, which they have failed 2 years in a row to address, mm-hmm. and new going in. Those guys are not stupid. Those are accomplished executives in the league. You don't get this job without being that. They did nothing to address the biggest weakness on the team. I'm wildly disappointed in Arturas Karnišovas and Mark. Wildly disappointed.
Well, okay. Well, I want
to
address
this point.
I want to address this coming up, Shay, if we can, at 8:18. But I'll just say, just off the rip, about Denver, that game on Sunday. Like, the Bulls are going to be outmanned because that's a fundamentally sound team, the Denver Nuggets, right? This is a game in which Jokic didn't have to even play 30 minutes. When he gets out there, this is a game where you expect him to have a double-double. He had 14 assists. That 14 assists was better than anything else I saw from the Nuggets on the floor. Murray, again, 23 points. He was very good. But my issue with the Bulls in that game, in a lot of games we've seen already this year, is transition. I mean, how do you beat down the floor in transition? This my-turn offense, it's like, yeah, you know what? They beat us down the floor.
Great term for it. That, because it you'll see Zach take it into two guys.
Yeah.
And then, I haven't had a shot in a minute. It's DeMar. I mean, get a mid-range shot up. Like, we have nobody that stretches the defense.
No. And you're not sharing the ball. You're not moving it side to side. That's what I expected from a Donovan team. Again, the evidence is right there in the box score. You don't have to watch the game for me to know, for you to know that the Bulls are not sharing the basketball. The idea that you have 24 assists on 40 field goals, that just wasn't good enough because they didn't shoot the ball well enough from the outside. The Denver defended, Denver outscored, Denver out-hustled, Denver, passed the basketball. I mentioned the 14 assists from Jokic. He's a wizard out there. So we'll talk more about it because there's something that you said that I totally disagree with regarding the Bulls that you mentioned in the meeting that's mm-hmm. going to be on the air at 8:18. But it just... That game against Denver, they weren't going to beat them. They just weren't.
They were outclassed from the jump. 6 turnovers and down 12 at the end of a quarter.
Imagine Michael Porter Jr. if he didn't have the back issues. He would have been a top 3 pick if it wasn't for the back issues.
Okay, but Absolutely. Let me ask you something. And I got to give them their flowers, especially Black. And Abdallah, I think, co-signed it. But
yep.
I was working with Chris back then. Black was the guy that said, your team stinks right now. You're not good enough. Roll the dice and take Michael Porter Jr.
You just would have had to wait for him for a year. Yeah.
How about if you had him now? Chris was right on. I'm like, Chris, he's got a back injury. Those things can be debilitating. They get it fixed and see what happens. Of course, he slid in the draft. Chris was right.
Well, those are the Denver doctors that worked on him, right?
I don't know who did his surgery. I don't know.
That's not like a James Andrews situation. That's
no, but a lot of these guys go to like Dr. Elitrosh out in L.A. I think he did Zach's knee, and I think he may have done Lonzo. He's big out there from Curlin Job. That's the big, like the pioneers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But Michael Porter went, what year was that? Who did we draft in that draft?
I got to go back and look. That was a couple of years ago. But just the idea that Porter has played very well for them, very steady.
Yeah, how about if the Bulls had rolled the dice and taken a shot? They didn't.
All right, Shay.
All right, Odie, I want to culture up this show a little bit. Some college football, because the latest playoff poll was released last night.
Yes.
The top four remain the same with Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, and TCU. Ohio State and Michigan, of course, on a collision course for the end of the season that will likely see one of them eliminated. The SEC holds 3 of the top 6. Tennessee and LSU are 5 and 6. Of course, Georgia's 1. But shout out Chris Black, who's lurking at 7 USC. Mm-hmm. So my question, shot or no shot, a Pac-12 champion USC would be the only way to keep the playoff from having multiple SEC teams.
You mean like Alabama getting in there at 7?
Well, Alabama's
Tennessee,
dead.
Tennessee or LSU getting in there.
Yeah, Alabama's dead. They're out.
You sure?
They're out.
You sure it's not a wacky formula to get a two-loss team?
No, they can't play in the SEC title. If they had an SEC title path, then yes. Like, LSU will play in that game. If they beat Georgia, they're in. And then this is a moot point. But
with tongue firmly in cheek, Shea Norling, you know, this was between two basketball games yesterday. It wasn't the 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock presentation, this whole ranking that they unveiled. Mm-hmm. Cap, on the surface, this is a television show.
Yeah.
Make it compelling.
There's nothing compelling about it.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. if, like, you have the same four you had last week. Do something with it, man. If you flipped Michigan and TCU, okay, Michigan fans might be upset. But the point is, though, is that what I would do is make it interesting. Like, we know who the top four teams are in college football, but they just roll out the same thing. Give me something so we can be able to argue about it a little bit.
Yeah, and it's such a waste of time.
I agree.
Let it play out.
I just want it to be compelling if you're going to roll it out there every week.
It sucks that the only compelling thing about this every week is how can 7 jump into the top four? There's right. never anything compelling actually in the top four.
And what happens is when Ohio State beats Michigan, which is likely to happen because it's happened so often. It didn't happen last year, but it's happened often. Then what happens to Michigan? They're not in the title hunt at all. They won't be in the top four at all.
You know what happens to them? The Capital One Orange Bowl. That's what happens to them. Yes. They go wherever the playoff is not and play on New Year's Day. Have fun.
So my focus, Cap, is just the SEC title game with Georgia and LSU.
Yeah.
So long, Kelly.
Have a good offseason.
That's right.
Get to your bowl game.
So
you're out.
So the ultimate question is, Shay, you're saying if USC drops out, could there be another SEC team in there?
Correct. My point is USC winning the Pac-12 would be the only thing to stop a multiple SEC teams from getting in.
Are you going to have multiple Big Tens? Are they both making it?
No shot.
No, they don't need that.
What do you mean no shot? No.
They're going to play each other, and then one of them won't play in the Big Ten title game. So no shot.
Get out of here.
One of them gets killed when they play each other.
You want real football at the end, don't you? So I think that...
stop.
What'd I say wrong?
Real football. Michigan and Ohio State are good football teams.
Yeah, but you don't want them in the big stage for the national championship. Get out of here with that.
So wait, you're telling me that if Ohio State loses to Michigan in a dogfight, it's a great game, and Michigan wins the Big Ten title, that Ohio State's not getting in?
Correct. That's correct.
I disagree.
What? You mean you disagree? You might not like it. That's what's going to happen. They don't want no one-loss Big Ten team in there. Don't have the same value. Sorry.
So if that happened, it wasn't like 57-7. It was like 31-30, an amazing game. Ohio State loses. Michigan wins the Big Ten title game. They're in, undefeated. Where's Ohio State in those rankings? They're second right now. You're telling me five. They're falling all the way to...
They're five. No one wants that one-loss Big Ten team. Sorry. Get out of here with
disagree.
That.
Disagree.
It's what it is. Don't disagree.
This is why it's better to lose early in college football, because you lose late, your season's really over. You lose early, like Oregon had a chance to come back if they won out.
How many examples do we have of this? Of it coming down to the Big Ten championship game and the loser?
2016. Both teams, Michigan had one loss going into that game, but you lose, you're out.
You want the good teams in there, Cap.
Wow.
Last year, Michigan won. Ohio State was out.
You don't want the inferior conference in there in a big spot. I mean, you can say that, Shay, right? Don't you want the SEC powers in there?
I think Michigan and Ohio State right now are the two Big Ten teams that resemble SEC teams, but I don't want both of them. I don't need to see a rematch. Enough. We see the one game. Enough.
Win. That's what I say.
So if you had to pick four teams right now that are going to be there, who are you picking?
Georgia.
Yeah, a fact.
Mm-hmm. Is TCU going to stay undefeated? Yeah. I think they will.
Now that they beat Texas at night on the road, yes.
Who do they have left?
Nobody. I got to look, but it's the bottom dwellers of the Big 12 and then the Big 12 title.
Georgia, TCU, the winner of Michigan and Ohio State, and then that fourth team. And that could be Tennessee. That could be USC. The seventh spot, by the way, if USC loses, I don't know if they're going to lose again, would be that Cinderella. Who's the Cinderella? It's Chanticleer, isn't it?
North Carolina.
Oh, for God's sakes.
North Carolina's not getting in, are they?
No, I agree, but they are Cinderella, if there's anyone.
And my Chanticleer is from Coastal Carolina.
No shot.
Can I get that? Can I get the...
What are they ranked?
I mean, they're just... They're undefeated still, right?
Yeah. Well, James Madison, are they undefeated still, too?
Still better. Yeah, hopefully, and better than one of these Big Ten teams, that's for sure.
Oh, stop, so, Alex Brown.
Coastal is not undefeated. They're 9-1.
One loss? Okay, yeah.
Then they're done.
Yeah, I'll take a one-loss Coastal Carolina over Michigan or Ohio State.
You're out of your minds.
Let's address the Bulls here. The Bulls take on the Pelicans tonight. Oh, God, another long and athletic team against the Bulls. Again, with the Pelicans. That's going to be a problem again tonight, but we will talk about something.
You just keep waiting. Alonzo gets back, man. Yeah. We're fixed.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah, we'll talk about this. Something that Cap said about DeMar DeRozan that we'll get into coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thank you for keeping the conversation going. Thank you for tuning in. This is where you can watch our show live and all the shows, including Greeny at 10, Carmen Yurko at 12, Waddle and Sylvie at 2, Black and Abdallah at 6, Freddie and Fitzsimmons at 8, all part of the mix right here on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000. Still to come, Cap and I and you will hear from Ryan Poles, the general manager for the Bears. He'll give his thoughts about Justin Fields. That's at 8:35 right here on this Wednesday morning. Cap, let's go back to our conversation. We had a little bit of it during Shot or No Shot regarding the Bulls. Bulls will take on New Orleans tonight. And we just go back to that game on Sunday against Denver. I mean, from the beginning, we're watching that and just like, okay, this is not going to be the Bulls' night because the Bulls just don't have the talent that even the Nuggets have, and it starts with Jokic. But you said something about DeMar DeRozan that piqued my interest. We're watching the Bulls, and we know the talent they have on the floor. And yes, Lonzo Ball's not here, but Lonzo Ball's not the elixir to fix the Bulls. He would just be one cog in the wheel. So what do you think of the starting five that Donovan throws out there all the time?
They cannot shoot the basketball. That does not mean that Zach can't make jump shots. I'm not saying he can't. The way they play, when they get the ball inside and then Vooch facilitates rather than just hanging out at the three-point line, they're a decent team. Decent. They look good. They score points in the paint. They get the ball to, you know, inside out, get better looks. When the ball is in DeMar's hand, and again, I'm not criticizing DeMar. Let me be clear. I'm just not sure that you can win with a mid-range guy who can't make jump shots and a roster constructed of very little shooting.
Okay, well, the first part of that is not fair. To say that DeMar DeRozan can't make jump shots. He can make jump shots.
I'm talking about threes. Okay, let me be three-pointers. He cannot stretch the defense. Everything is, if it gets in his hands,
yeah.
Dribble, let me get in the paint, let me hit a really tough shot over the top of a defender while everyone else stands around and watches.
That was a lot of last year.
Correct. That does not mean he's not a great teammate and a really good player. I'm just not convinced that you can win the way they play without the ability for him to kick it to the wing, knock down a jump shot. Oh, Alex Caruso made one. Wow. Send up, you know, a bunch of balloons. We're happy. He's a good player. I like having him. We don't have a cold-blooded assassin that stands out there and makes shots. Like you go, wow.
Okay. Well, okay. So let's unpack what you said there. Ultimately, let's start from the top with Eversley and Karnaschovas. They did not put together the shooting that the Bulls need. They needed to have more shooting. We talked about this in the offseason. Adding Drummond and Dragic is not enough for this team offensively. It has this Sox vibes thing for me in which we'll just run it back. We just need to get healthy. We need to be able to play better against the upper echelon teams, and it will be fine. So the number one thing for them is to get Zach LaVine back, and he secured the bag, right? He got it.
Correct.
Okay.
He got his back.
Okay, fine. So that's just one player. What DeMar DeRozan, though, DeRozan's giving you a yeoman's-like effort by scoring with twos. Now, you know who also scores with twos a lot? Julius Randle or Kevin Durant or a number of these guys are good with the mid-range. Trae Young. So the number of guys are good with the mid-range. The only difference is they have talent around them. So I'm tolerant of the DeRozan offensive arsenal, but if you don't have the shooting around DeRozan where it's like, hey, he's scoring, he's giving us 15, 17, 20 points a game with twos. But if no one else is scoring around him, Cap, what else is he supposed to do? He's the oldest player on the team.
Correct.
But he's giving you buckets, though. There's value to that. But also, on the other end, if Vooch is not knocking down threes, if DeSumo's not knocking down threes, if you're not getting off the bench, then where's it coming from? They had 27% from three against the Nuggets on Sunday, and 6 for 22. But that's not coming from Patrick Williams every night. But you're casting aspersions on DeRozan as if he's supposed to do anything else besides be a walking bucket. That's what he does. From the foul line in.
I'm not casting aspersions on him. I'm saying to you that I'm wildly disappointed in our front office that this is what they chose to run back. Where did we get better?
That's not DeRozan's fault, though. It's not.
But I'm not blaming him. I'm telling you that the way this roster is currently constructed from my basketball eye,
yep.
I'm not sure what if there's a very high ceiling here. Solid, competitive. Look, I'm looking at the Bucks roster right now.
Oh, yeah.
The guys that shoot the ball from three. Jrue Holiday, 36%. Brooke Lopez, big guy, stretches the court, 35%. Grayson Allen, 43%. Javon Carter, 40%. You've got guys that make shots here.
Yeah.
You do.
I
didn't even mention, what's his name?
For who?
The kid from Notre Dame for the Bucks.
Connaughton. Yeah.
That's another guy that they have that can shoot the basketball. I know he's been banged up.
But here's the difference between the Bears and the Bulls in this regard, right? So after this season where the Bulls could be bounced out in the first round based on how heavy the Eastern Conference is in talent. So what's next? Now that you paid Zach LaVine, so at some point DeRozan will be going someplace else. And then what? You're waiting for the development again of Patrick Williams? You think Terry's going to be a guy in and out of the G League? Like who's next? That's my point. Like, you know, you can bring Ball back, and you can say our nucleus is Ball, DeRozan, and LaVine. And then there's Vucevic. That's good, but will it ever be upper echelon? And unless you have better shooting, it will not. It'll never be in the top tier until you get the shooting around those guys.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point. And that's why I'm so wildly disappointed in, and I'm not telling you they can't do it. They haven't been here that long. But how have we gotten better? And it was time for change. I'm no fan of Gar Forman. I don't like how he did his business.
Yep.
I don't. On the court or off. Not my kind of guy. He's not. That said, what have these two guys, Arturas and Mark Eversley, truly done that make us competent, decent? Paid for the number one free agent coach? I love Billy. Billy can only win with the players that he has. That's it. That's all he can do. He can't shoot for him.
Can't elevate him either.
I mean, what is there to elevate? DeMar's having a resurgence in his career since he came here. So I'll push back. He did elevate him. Zach, really good player. Glad he's here. Io has developed much more quickly than people thought. Very good player.
I thought he'd be a guy coming in because he looks like a veteran already. I mean, like a 7-8 year veteran, the way he plays the game.
Right. Patrick Williams, we say it every day. He's 21 years of age. Let's just pump the brakes and let him develop. Maybe he'll work. Maybe it won't.
I mean,
but
I just,
my front office had to look at that team. We all scream it. We all do. I hear all the other shows on the station. They all know their basketball.
Yeah.
We got to get some shooters in here.
Yes.
Not one.
Well, they Rick Hahn'd it pretty well, did they not?
We're going to run it back. Oh. Lonzo's got to have another surgery. He's out till at least January.
I know Rick doesn't like me saying that, but that's kind of what they did because they didn't do anything at the deadline. Is I will just you wait for us to get healthy. Same thing with the Bulls. Well, we just have to have Lonzo healthy. Well, that's not the key to beat Milwaukee in the playoffs.
If I drop a healthy Lonzo Ball onto the team, is this a top four team in the East?
It is not.
Agreed.
It is not. Well, now with Boston, now with the Cavs are better. No. I know it's a little bit upside down because the Heat are middling right now and the Sixers are middling. But once we get to the end of the season, you'll see the cream rise to the top.
I mean, we don't have any of the drama that they have going on in Brooklyn. We don't have to deal with any of that stuff. Right. Thank goodness.
But they have talent.
But how did you look at this team? I don't know. Did management not want to spend any money beyond where they're at? I can't answer that. I'm not in those meetings.
Like beyond,
none of us are.
You mean like beyond LaVine?
Right.
Yeah.
You're telling me that there was no shooting of any substance that you could have acquired. None.
Thoughts on Zach LaVine talking about the loss against Denver. Just not a lot of energy there.
It didn't feel like we were playing hard. They're playing harder than us. That can't happen. You know, you try to pick it up and, you know, against good teams, it's not going to work out that way all the time. So we didn't look good offensively. We couldn't stop it defensively. And that's the result you get.
It's hard to explain not playing hard. We had 3 days off.
Yeah, I mean, too. We looked worse than we did the day before. I think that's, you know, on all of us collectively. And you just can't have a showing like that at home. You know, it's upsetting.
Are you surprised at the Bulls' slow start? 312-332-3776. Jump in our conversation about DeRozan, LaVine, and the Bulls. And coming up, Cap and I and you will hear from Ryan Poles, the general manager of the Bears. Had something interesting to say about Justin Fields. We'll hear that coming up next on Cap and J-Hood.
Cap, J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
And Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
I like this. What kind of music is this?
Yacht Rock.
This is not Yacht Rock.
I'd like to remind you that Whiskey U is tonight at the Sovereign Tap in Plainville, 6:30 to 8:30, featuring Carmen DeFalco and featuring Calumet Farm Kentucky Bourbon. If you're in the area in the southwest suburbs, check out my guy,
yeah, it's
Carm.
Awesome. It's awesome. Yeah, if anyone knows what that song is, please send me a tweet.
You know... No, you don't
know. Well, he doesn't have it in the board. I've asked Snorling many times. He's like, I don't know.
I love it. Dollar bill, y'all. I don't think that's
Wu-Tang,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Zach. I don't think you.
Who
think
is that?
Wu-Tang Clan.
Wu-Tang Clan. I don't think you.
I'm going to put that on my.
No.
Really?
I don't think you. No.
It's not for me, huh?
It's in my selection. I don't think you would be.
It's the instrumental for Cap. That's it.
Just, I don't think you'd want the lyrics to that.
Dude, Cap's going to have a playlist of like 90s hip-hop instrumentals.
I don't think that'd be good for you, Cap.
Okay.
I don't think I mean,
trust you.
I mean, especially where you live, I don't think they'd appreciate that. That bass rumbling in your vehicle. I don't think that works.
Okay. I'll pass.
I mean, I'm just trying to help you because... The neighbors, they like to complain.
Wow. So we were talking about the Bulls.
Yeah, and just your thoughts about the Bulls, and we were talking about DeMar DeRozan. Man, I mean, his game is what it is. It's not going to get any better or any worse.
I like him. I'm not denigrating him. Let me be clear. He's a very good basketball player. I think the roster is... not as well constructed as I thought this far into their tenure these dudes would have.
Mm-hmm.
They got hired during the pandemic.
Yes.
It's going to be 3 years.
Now what, right?
Like, okay, what's next?
Right.
Where is it getting better? I think Patrick Williams will develop, but that may not be till he's 23. That's mm-hmm. 2 years from now.
Yes.
Okay. DeMar will be like 90 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it getting better?
You say 90.
Yeah. Lonzo Ball coming back.
That's just a guy.
Kobe White from his quad contusion. Just a guy. That's all he is. That was a bad draft pick by Garen Pax. Bad.
As promised, Ryan Poles, the general manager for the Bears, was on with Peter Schrager on the season. The question was posed, can you appreciate progress from Fields that he's showing despite the loss to the Lions?
Yeah, I think you got to compartmentalize some things. Like, obviously, like, if you talk to me, if this was yesterday, I wouldn't have been very, like, fun to talk to. We expect to win games. That's our standard. So just kind of being okay with losing it is really not going to fly around here. But you do have to take the time to look at the little victories that you do have. And Justin's one of them. Justin's playing really, really well. I give credit to him buying in. I mean, that this dude works his butt off. He puts time into it. So to get results, you know, on individual performance and as an offense, means a lot to me, to him, to our coaching staff. I think a lot of credit needs to go to Luke Getsy as well. I mean, he adjusted, he adapted to strengths and weaknesses, and is able to put together some really good performance by our, you know, by our offense, and we're continuing to get better, and we're learning about what we have and the guys that we have, and we have a young team, so it's exciting to see the direction that we're going.
See, Cap, to me, I think it's a big storyline already here in the season where a team changes midstream on their offensive philosophy. How many teams in the National Football League would say, this is the way we're going? We got to teach Justin Fields how to be able to throw exclusively from the pocket, and running away has to be your fourth or fifth option, even though you've got 3 seconds or less. You heard what he said there in the soundbite to Schrager, and we'll play more of it coming up at our 9 o'clock hour. But he said this, Cap, says, I like what Getsy has done as far as changing the way the offense looks. A lot of teams wouldn't do that. Not in the middle of the season with the same quarterback.
No, but they don't have to teach him how to play in the pocket. That's what he did at Ohio State. He was not the guy he's been here running the football like this. He was a... But again, he had an iron gate in front of him and receivers that all are in the NFL are headed there. I don't think you have to teach him. I think you have to protect him and get him some weapons. Not named Smith Marset and Equanimeous St. Brown.
Yeah. So all we're just waiting for is weapons. And he won't be running around with the football anymore.
Oh, I'm not saying that. He gives you a multidimensional approach.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that kid beat us with his leg. Oh, my God. He just beat us with his arm. He could do a lot of things.
Yeah.
I think he has a chance to be a superstar. Not just a good player, a superstar. But that's up to Ryan Poles.
Yes. It's funny the parallel of the Bulls and Bears in that regard, right? So because the Bulls are, they need another star on that team. Maybe a superstar on that team as far as shooting. Because the team is good, but you need to have a little something extra shooting-wise. Same thing with the Bears. The Bears need to be able to have more difference makers on the team around Justin Fields for this offense to really work.
The Bears are farther away than the Bulls are.
No, I get it.
The Bulls are a solid, competent organization. They're well coached. They try hard. Vucevic is a solid player. DeMar's a solid player. Zach Borders on star player. Io's a solid player. Lonzo Ball is a very good player. But who are you, like, who do you have to game plan against the Bulls? There are going to be nights they get the ball inside. They scored 56 points in the paint, a season high, and they won. And you went, wow, look at that. Got it inside. They scored. They attacked, kick it out, hit some shots. I think Io was 4 for 4 one night from three.
Right.
You're like, wow, they look really good. And then you have nights where, it's my turn. I'm taking it into two guys.
It's my turn offense. Yep.
Vooch is hanging out in the corner. Get in the lane.
Yeah. That bugs the crap out of Stacey King.
It bugs the crap out of me.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch the game tonight. I could tell you 5 minutes in, they're listening to the coach. They're diving the ball inside, and they're kicking it back out.
I guess my point with the Bears and Bulls is it's about adding star power. Both are in the same boat.
I think the Bears need more star power than the Bulls. I think the Bulls need more role players that make jump shots. The Bears are just talent deficient.
Like, without DeRozan, I'm sorry, yeah, so without DeRozan, when he's gone, like, after LaVine, then who? Because you need at least three in the NBA. Like, that's going to be leave a big hole. That means 20 points a game leaves, and now who fills that bill? Is that supposed to be Patrick Williams?
It's supposed to be.
That's supposed to be another. I mean, who's the other guard?
Like, if you had to compare the Chicago Bulls today to a current NFL team, who would you compare him to? I mean, the Bears are awful. The Bulls are not awful.
Comparing the Bulls to another NFL team?
Because I have
team?
One in my mind.
NFL team, you
yes.
said. So that means that a team is good but can't get over the hump.
Like Golden State, to me, would be like the Chiefs.
Sure.
The Bills. Like the elite of the elite. Teams like that. That's not...
How about this, Shay?
The Bulls.
The Bulls are the Titans.
Yeah, that's another one. It's not the one I had. That's a great one.
Is it because they have the archaic style, the best player at the old style of doing things, and they just can't win with it?
I think the Bulls are...
Yeah.
I mean, the Chicago Bulls are the New York Giants.
Okay.
I think the Giants are much better than the Bulls, if you're going comp to comp.
Disagree. Disagree. They don't have any receivers of note. None.
Oh, so you think it's a fraudulent 7-2, is that what you're saying?
I think he's doing a hell of a job coaching them.
Mm-hmm.
They take care of the football. Saquon's a beast. Daniel Jones has played better. But I think they're similar. I think the Titans is an excellent comp.
Well, the Titans are a good football team.
Competent.
Yeah.
They're not winning a championship.
No. Well coached.
Yeah.
Solid for the regular season.
Billy Donovan's Mike Vrabel.
And a boring AFC South.
Maybe the Ravens, even a little bit. Where you just you win games in the regular season a way that you typically can't do it in the playoffs.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I see your point on that. I see your point. Some thoughts from Ryan Poles we just heard from, but what about the Bears? So if the class of the NFC North is the Vikings, how can the Bears get to where the Vikings are? How quickly can that be? And are the Vikings number one with a bullet in the NFC North? We'll talk about that coming up next on Cap and J-Hood.
Kaplan, Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Do da dippity. You can go with this, or you can go with that. You can go with this, or you can go with that. I think you go with this, because this is kind of fat.
Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and... streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Still to come, we'll talk about Justin Fields and exciting players around sports. We'll compare the two. We made our list. We'll tell you about it coming up at 9 o'clock here on ESPN 1000. And no, Cap, you can't put that in your list of music either. I mean,
that was the Kia commercial. I remember that song.
It's called, yes. Yeah, that's
the
right.
The little rodents in the Kia.
The hamsters, yeah.
The yes. hamsters.
So yes. It's the hamster song.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
So make sure you make an MP3.
You can do this, and you can do it.
Make sure you make an MP3 of that also, JC, for Cap on his trip. I just can't see you have playing Wu-Tang around.
I'll burn a disc for him.
Yeah. Right. I was going to say, we'll put it on his Walkman.
You know what? I'm going to be on vacation next week, and I am just going to...
Do what?
I'm going to do what Danny has begged me to do for a long time. Holster my phone.
Hmm. That would be interesting.
No shot. You 24 hours max.
Yes. And playing Wu-Tang, of course. Now Wu-Tang and Riverwoods don't sound like... Which one of these things is not like the other?
What happens to Cap after 24 hours phone free?
He's playing Wu-Tang.
Clawing at his neck. Like
a you're probably
right. Smack addict.
Hey,
I need the phone.
I need me a tweet. Hey,
you're
man.
Probably right.
I need some sports information.
I can't do it.
Hey, man.
I will tell you what one horrible thing about going to a state that doesn't have sports gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Awful.
Oh, I've been there.
Off all week and you can't make a play?
Peacock and I were just in Austin, Texas. I was surprised. I didn't know because I got the app open. Like, here we go. College football. Oh, what do you mean I can't bet? Oh, no.
You're in a location that does not allow sports betting.
I've never been so thankful as when I was in Kentucky that I have a bookie because, boy, when I went to the make a same game parlay in Kentucky and I couldn't do it, I was heartbroken.
Oh, it's just you have to just know the rules of the place we were going to beforehand. I just assumed. And I shouldn't have assumed.
I assume now because so many are legal and not enough, in my opinion. Just make it legal everywhere so it never impacts me. I never want to be inconvenienced.
Also, JC, make a little disc for Wu-Tang for a Cat, please.
Yeah, Cream?
I don't know.
That's from Atticus Rabbiton. Hey, tell Hood, educate, not be the gatekeeper. Here's the song. And he sent me the link to it, the whole deal.
Okay. Okay,
Atticus. Thank you, Atticus.
Atticus, did you get it all, by the way, while you're doing that? Did you get it all? Make sure you get the chin, the nose, get everything else. God. While you're down there on Cap, make sure that you get everything.
You are
sick.
Speaking of cream, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Plenty. We got change your Twitter handle to Atticus Cream. Get on top. Anyway, nonetheless, I just love the idea. I just love the idea of Cap driving around with cash rules everything around me. Dollar bill, y'all. I don't think that would work in Riverwoods.
It's the summertime. He's doing this with his hands out the window.
Cash rules everything around me. Dollar bill, y'all.
Oh, boy.
Pippin got harder. I'm sorry. So, nonetheless, I want to ask you about the Minnesota Vikings. We were talking earlier about the Vikings, and, hey, they are the class of the NFC North. It's funny. You know, Packers fans, not all, but some Packers fans would say, we don't have a rivalry with the Bears. We beat the Bears' ass all the time. It's not a rivalry. We don't like them. We're focused on the Vikings. It's interesting how that's changed. When the Bears don't show any fight against the Packers, now it's not really a rivalry. But Packers and Vikings, they don't like each other. And now the Vikings are on top.
And guess what? There's a guy named Justin. We're coming!
Sure. Absolutely. You can't compare yourself to the Packers until you get the offense right. I mean, it is a Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers against a young quarterback in Justin Fields, but hopefully we'll get back to the Forrest Gregg days.
That was the best.
Well, the Bears are beating their ass on a regular basis.
Correct. We dominated through the 80s, and then it changed.
Do you not believe in the Vikings? Do you believe this is a pop-up store, as Sylvie would say? Is this a one-off for the Vikings? Or is it sustainable?
Sustainable, you mean over multiple years?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it.
Meaning, will they take over the North?
But they've got probably... Do they have the best trio of skilled position players on any roster in the National Football League?
So Cook, Jefferson, Thielen?
Yes.
It's funny we didn't mention a quarterback in that spot, did we?
No, I'm not counting quarterback. Mm-hmm. Skilled position players other than quarterback. Like, Buffalo has Singletary, Diggs, and Gabriel Davis.
I think it's Miami.
Miami has Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Raheem Mostert.
Or Mike Gesicki, but just off the two alone, I think it's Miami.
I mentioned earlier,
it's two of the top five receivers in football.
Cappage, it was like Clayton and Duper out there in the old days for the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
They're that formidable a combination as wide receivers.
What about San Francisco? Debo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, and George Kittle.
I put Ayuk up there, too.
Or Ayuk. Mm-hmm. That's pretty damn formidable.
Mm-hmm. So you would say that Minnesota...
Seattle?
I mean, Minnesota's right there in the mix, though. We talk about these combinations. I think they're definitely in the top three. But my question is, will this be sustainable? We talk about these skill position players, but we're not talking about Kirk Cousins. I say that Kirk Cousins is what he is. He's an average quarterback.
Yeah.
And by the way, average quarterback is not necessarily a bad formula to get to the Super Bowl. You don't have to have a dynamic quarterback to get there. I'm not saying all the way down to Trent Dilfer as a game manager, which is nothing wrong with that either. I know that's a term that people get a little sensitive about. But Kirk Cousins, I think, is good enough at a level to help the Vikings. Now, Super Bowl? No. But why can't he be able to just get out of the way and help this Vikings team win?
They're 8-1, man. That win at Buffalo was really damn impressive.
I think what I keep looking at is last year, I think they lost 7 games by a score. There was a stretch where they lost 7 straight by one score. Then there was a stretch this year now. They've won 7 by one score.
Yeah.
So they're really living on the edge of that knife. And it's kind of like they're winning the coin flip. They keep flipping the coin this year, and it keeps coming up heads. Last year, it kept coming up tails. I wonder if that's the difference between Zimmer and Mike McDaniel.
I think that might be. With McDaniel, don't we need to find... Well, listen.
Kevin O'Connell.
McDaniel, Miami. Kevin O'Connell is what I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, Cap, that this is going to be sustainable for the Vikings in the NFC North.
Sustainable for how long?
I think a couple years. It's already been Packers-Vikings a lot in the NFC North.
The Vikings, I'm telling you, and Shea's going to laugh, and he's from Detroit. The Lions are going to pick probably two of the top 10 this year. They have two first rounds.
They have the Rams pick.
And the Rams just put Cooper Kupp done for the year.
The Rams pick might end up being like one. It could end up being like one, two, three.
The Lions are going to pick two more studs. At some point, that thing is going to click. There's a lot of good players there.
But you can't tell Shea that because Shea's seen it all before. These top draft
not
picks
like
that don't.
This. I mean, not like this.
How many first-round picks, how many top 10 picks they have on their roster right now, and they're 2-7, 3-7, whatever it is.
3-6.
I mean,
been there before.
You got to get the coach right. You got to get the GM right. They've never done it.
Wait, we'll talk about the excitement of Justin Fields versus others around sports in 2 minutes on Cap and J-Hood.